to see you. So glad you could make it. Live streamers, we're happy that you chose to join us. We have a few announcements this morning, or this evening, as we dim the lights. Thank you for that. We have some sign-ups in the back. So if you haven't had a chance to get back there, please go take a look at the table. Our spring semester small groups are coming up in February. And we're also having a men's breakfast February 1st. So that'll be February 1st at 9 a.m. I know there's some readings. I think it's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So he asked that you guys look through those. But just be here at 9 a.m. on February 1st. And check the back table if you want to sign up for any of the groups. This Saturday is the cooking class. Is it just going to be you or Miss Tish too? With Vinny and Miss Tish. So we've seen pictures. It looks like you guys are having so much fun. So don't forget that. Saturday
11.
At 11 a.m. All right, let's stand to your feet, family of faith. Let's worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah.
Yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer. Good. You know he's going to provide for every need that you have. And sometimes we see a sea, but he sees a highway. We see a nation that has been taken, but he knows if we just praise him and we shout that the walls will fall down. We see a furnace, and he sees a future. We see a lion's den, and he sees a place that we can rest our heads. So be encouraged that whatever you're facing, he has not forgotten you. Hallelujah. You are good, Lord. We just give you everything we have tonight, Lord. We give you our attention. We say, come and do what you want to do. Come and move in this house in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, we're glad to have you here with us tonight. Tell someone hello and tell them you're glad to see them. And children, you're dismissed.
All right, everybody. Happy Wednesday. I know it's cold out. I know it's supposed to snow tonight. I know it's supposed to snow Saturday. Yeah, that's why I hear But good news for those of you that like it, the days are getting longer, inch by inch, right? And even better than all that, we're at church right now. So if you have something to give, you can put that together. And we'll take that up in just a moment. And as you're prepping that, envelopes and chairs in front of you. If you don't see one, wave your hand around. I know they're getting kids checked into kids' church and all that business. I had my yearly cancer appointment today where they stuck me and took blood from me and all that stuff. Good news is they told me I don't have to come back as much as I want to anymore. Isn't that nice? So getting past that business, that's nice. Anyways, tithe and offering. Let me pray over it. So if you have it, you can bring it down. Lord, we thank you to be in the house tonight. And 21 days of prayer, Lord, we've been digging in and seeking you and fasting and praying. And we're here tonight in the midst of that. And I pray as we give tonight, it's honoring to you and we're drawn into you and all the things that we do. And even in our giving, we're drawn to you in a certain way that we're just testifying to you and the goodness that you have shown us in increase in our life. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have some, you can bring it. As Kelly said, there's all sorts of sign-ups back there for Tom's electrical class, for Bill's class on budgeting that he was sharing about on Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet back there for Love Your Marriage, all right? That's coming up the last Friday night of February. The topic that night is Unified. And if you've never been to Love Your Marriage, come. It's 3 hours, 6 to 9 p.m. Child care is provided. We have like three different sessions that night where we just hit marriage hard and encourage you. And one of the best things about the night is I buy Olive Garden for everybody. And it's just good food, good fellowship, good time, strengthening our marriage. Remember, your marriage is like a car. If you don't keep it up, it'll break down. Got to work on your marriage. So there's a sign-up sheet back there for that. The oldest man in the house said amen. So if Tom testifies that that's true, he knows, right? So sign up for Love Your Marriage, and we'll tell you more details about that. It's coming. So a lot of things happening. This Sunday, we're going to be introducing our next semester small group leaders, when they're meeting, days and times and topics and things like that. So be here for that on Sunday. So lots of things going on. Of course, we're in the midst of 21 days of prayer, and during these 3 weeks of prayer, our Wednesdays look a little different as it is tonight. And we are, I think, 11 days in, so we're a little bit past halfway of our 21 days of prayer. So don't forget that the church, the rest of this week and next week, is open from 6 to 7 p.m., Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We come together, we gather in personal time of prayer, then a corporate time of prayer, and encouragement that over this 3 weeks that you at least take one day a week and fast. And we talked about fasting for a few moments real quick last Wednesday. But if you have questions about things like fasting, please ask me. I'd love to converse with you about it. But I believe that as we are pressing in during these 21 days, that it's a good thing and it's a God thing. And I believe we're making ground. And I believe we're sowing a lot of stuff, but it's not just sowing things. I believe we're going to be seeing breakthrough. And by the way, if you filled out a prayer card, if you haven't filled one out and you want to put one, go ahead and fill it out. Throw it in that thing right there. There's some prayer resources next to it, including that green piece of paper, which is sort of things that we are praying about as a church. You can grab one of those later to pray. But as we're praying over all these things, if you put a prayer card in, and you've seen God respond to it, please let me know. We want to hear some testimony. There's praise cards back there. There's some up here that they're black. Just write out the praise report. We'd love to testify about those things, but we believe God is responding to our prayers. So, having said that, we are going to spend time in prayer tonight. But before we do that, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. I just want to spend a couple moments with you about something. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. This is Sermon on the Mount, and I've shared with you here not too long in the future. We're going to jump into a series on the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday mornings. I'm looking forward to that, and we'll tear this apart a little more at that time. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus is giving a template of prayer. And he says, pray then like this. Our Father, and notice the our and the we and the us of this prayer. In other words, this is what we do together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some translations have evil one there. Now, verse 14, though, and this is where I really wanted to get to in regards to prayer. For if you, now notice again, the prayer that he taught us to pray, notice the we and the us and the our. But when Jesus then gives a little note to what he just said about praying, notice he turns it to you. He gets personal with it. For if you forgive others their trespasses, and he's highlighting one of the things he talked about in teaching us to pray and for asking for the forgiveness of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And that is kind of a very straightforward, and for some people, a hard thing to hear. Now, let me just say something about prayer in general. I believe that people have a tendency to have a scriptural idea of what prayer is than really hang their hat on it in that way. And their approach to prayer is kind of in that regards only. We need a well-rounded understanding of what prayer is. So for instance, the scriptures say, and Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do for you, right? Doesn't it say that? Well, of course, there are some nuances to that, but I think people think that and they hang their prayer hat on it, and all they do is just ask, because you say you'll give me what I ask. Okay, there's nothing wrong praying things like that, but that's not the totality of prayer. Or it could be James chapter 5, and the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and they hang their hat on just praying things because I just want to be powerful. Okay, yes, that's a true aspect of prayer, but that's not the totality of prayer. Remember, prayer starts with our Father. Prayer, first step, is relational. First step. Because if you understand that it's relational first, when you go to him and ask, or you pray things that concern power, whatever, those things are in their proper place. Secondly, prayer is formational. And this is the part we don't think about much. Prayer is formational. What I mean by that is this. When you pray, Father, forgive me of my sins, but you are not willing to forgive the sins of another, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. In other words, we must be formed by the things that we pray. You've got to take the golden rule approach to prayer. Whatever I want my Father to do for me, I must do for others. Formational. Change me. So Jesus is being straight out that what I want God and I ask God to do for me, I must grow and be changed and be formed into the kind of person that will do that in the same way for other people. I've had numerous people over the years say something like this to me. And they mean it some way in a compliment. Sometimes they say it because of something that I did. They'll say something like, you have way more grace than I do. And in my mind, I always think that's because I always am needing the grace of God. I'm trying to be for other people in what I know I need the Father to do for me. That makes sense. Listen, you got to understand this. You will never pray better than the state of your heart. It is a selfish prayer to ask God to do something for you that you are not willing to do for somebody else. That's why prayer is formational. That in my first step relationship with God, it's relational first. It's time. It's presence. It's Him. That I allow myself to grow and be changed by the things I'm doing in my prayer. By the way, I think that's why it's important that you learn to have prayer habits that's not always filled by your mouth. Especially in charismatic circles, I gotta say stuff, I gotta speak in tongues, I gotta do all this stuff and get on my business. How about you learn a prayer habit where you're not just trying to get Him to pay attention to you, but you learn how to pay attention to Him? There's maturity there. That makes sense. And we think we just got to fill it with what we're saying. No. Okay, say it. You're supposed to. But that's one aspect. But there's another aspect of prayer of learning how to pay attention to Him. And I think it's in those moments of being paying attention to Him that He's able to come in and form you and shape you instead of you just trying to get Him to do stuff. It's kind of like this. Put it this way. If you ask God for mercy, do you show mercy to others? If you're asking God to increase you in your life, how are you about the business of increasing somebody else? If you want God to open a door for you, what door are you holding open for another? If you ask God to save your neighborhood, what kind of light are you being in your neighborhood? If you want God to bless you, you ask Him to bless you, well, how are you being a blessing to somebody else? If you want God to bear your burden, well, how are you about the business of bearing the burdens of other people? You see? That's an accountability for what you're asking of God for you. See, God is the model of which we strive. Jesus, God in flesh. He is the model in which we strive. We know that Jesus would steal away to desolate places, the Bible says, or quiet places, or the different ways that is put that Jesus, and He would pray. The entire thing that Jesus did was outward towards other people. Right? And even though one prayer that we know He prayed, he's in Gethsemane, He said, hey, can we do this a whole other way? Can you take this cup from me? Even then He laid that part down and said, yep, but whatever you want, Father. And it turned out to Jesus pouring out Himself instead of getting something. You see what I'm getting at? That maturity says that I am growing into things that I know I need towards other people. Because remember, the Christian life and the things that God does is never to be contained just to you. I receive mercy, that should overflow to other people. I receive a blessing, that should overflow to other people. Financial increase, that overflows to other people, right? You never are to keep for yourself what God does. And if you have that mentality, you begin to understand, what does it mean to be used by God? Show mercy to somebody. Forgive somebody even when they didn't ask for it and don't deserve it. Listen to the Spirit and just freely give as you have freely received. That's the Christian life. That's being used by God. I think sometimes we always attach that to a specific purpose. It can be that. But you realize by showing forgiveness to somebody, that's being used by God in the greatest way you can be used. By sharing the gospel to somebody, that's the greatest way you can be used. Those are purposeful actions of the Christian life. In the gospel you have received, give it to somebody else. Right? Yeah, we are not to live contained to the things that God does. Let me show you kind of an example. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah 58. And I'm going to read this, comment on it just for a second, then we're going to spend the rest of the evening praying. Isaiah 58 and verse 3. And this is the prophet Isaiah bringing a word to the Lord of chastisement to the people of Israel that were practicing religious things, but their life wasn't changing to be conformed at all. Isaiah 58, 3. Why have we fasted and you see it not? In other words, why is God not responding? Why have we humbled ourselves and God, you take no knowledge of it? Why? Because behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and you oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? Simply a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Okay, you can do all that religious stuff, but here's what God says. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see him naked, to cover him, and to not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. For if you take the yoke away from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the spreading of wickedness, if you pour out yourself to the hungry and satisfy desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. You see that? We can do the religious stuff, praying and fasting. But if the things that God would do for us are not being outward turned to the people around us, then what good is our prayer and our fasting? To the Lord, not much. Right? So I want you to think about over the next few days. When you pray, practice this. When you pray, and you, as the Bible says, present your request to the Lord, after you're done praying, think about what you ask. And think about, am I the kind of person that is actually doing that for other people? And start to check your heart. Amen? And if you catch yourself, you may catch yourself and go, oh, man. You have kind of this mirror experience, oh, man. Then begin with the help of the Holy Spirit to become the things that you want God to do for you. And the great thing is, he'll help you do it. And we will be the light that are actually called to be. Amen? How many know what get what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. So, live streamers, we're going to be logging off right now. We're going to be praying here till 8 o'clock. So if you're at home watching this, I encourage you to take the next 20 minutes and spend time in prayer, okay? As a church, what we're going to do is we're going to, for the next 20 minutes, pray right before 8 o'clock. I'm going to gather us back together just for a moment and pray before we go. You can grab a green paper. You can walk around and pray. You can sit where you're at, whatever. But let's spend time in prayer. If you want to grab some